The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman. My partner's Mike Bonaccorso. How you doing there, Michael?
Doug, I'm well. Yourself?
Hey, I'm doing great, buddy. You know, it's if it's all right with you, I want to do something a little different with the show today. Rather than, you know, get into the market and, you know, I guess week after week, unless something dramatic happens, it kind of gets, you know, a little bit stale here. So what I'd like to do is just hop into a topic here, you know, right out of the gate and, you know, get rocking and rolling on it. And I think, you know, something that we haven't spoken about in quite some time is the micro versus the macro economics of the financial world for people out there. And I think that it's really, really important for us to revisit this right now, because we're seeing the telephone calls into the office. I think people are starting to hurt cash flow wise here a little bit. And, you know, they're like, all right, you know, I'm getting squeezed. What am I supposed to do? So let's just talk about the, you know, the overall circumstance and situation that's related to that.
Yeah. And really, it's a trickle down effect, right? When you think about it, because macro being the economy, the world, interest rates, taxation, inflation, you know, you kind of get the flavor of it, folks. You know what I'm saying?
The big stuff we have no control over.
Correct. That basically involves our government and how things operate and how we're operating. And then the micro, of course, really just boiling down to your specific home, your kitchen table, as we like to say, and everything that affects you guys, you know, like the bills, the cash flow, how you're handling it. Although one you can control 100% and the other one you can't control,
mm-hmm.
they have an effect. The one has an effect on the other, absolutely.
Absolutely does, no doubt about it. You know, we have no control over the inflationary situation out there. We have no control, you know, really over taxation. We have no control over the markets. You know, we don't have any control over that kind of stuff. And we do have control somewhat, at least a better level of control, what happens in our own personal financial lives. So what I've been seeing lately, and I know you have as well, Mike, is that, like I alluded to previously, is that people are feeling more cash squeezed right now, cash flow squeezed. And I'm talking about people from all walks of life. You know, as you know, the person with, you know, $5 million is feeling a cash flow squeeze right now too. And they're like, okay, I need to figure out how to get some more income through the door. It's not just, you know, somebody who's not making a lot of money and just is, you know, just getting by. It's for all segments of people out there. So managing the microeconomic situation, your household, your family inside the four walls is becoming more paramount today than maybe it's been over the last 15 years or so.
Sure, because it's just not as easy as it has been over the last 15 years, right? So now the little things that you do in the micro, your home, add up, you know, and you need to compensate for what's going on the macro side. That's a great point, Doug. I mean, we haven't dealt with inflation in 15, 20 years. Okay. So, you know, when you look at it, you know, somebody that's probably just starting their career at 21 years old has never seen inflation in their lifetime. You know,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Somebody that's 40, you know, so there's a good portion of this population that's never, doesn't know what inflation is.
Correct.
You know, they've heard the word, but they've never dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's periods of time historically, when you go back and look, is that the Federal Reserve historically does a pretty nice job of controlling inflation. But every now and then, you know, it kind of gets tough.
Sticky, yeah.
Sticky, right? You know, you can go back to the 70s and you can see it was, you know, there was inflation then and for a short period of time in the 80s, short period of time in the 90s. And now here, you know, here we are in the, you know, in the 2020s and we're dealing with it. So what do the people need to do at the end of the day with their macro financial situation, you know, their own personal financial situation right now? Is it's high time for an overview, a review, maybe I meant to say. And, you know, Mike, one of the things that people don't do often enough is keep track of where their money's going.
Sure. You know, people don't keep track of where their money's going. You get careless with expenses. You know, you start getting into habits that, you know, you shouldn't do it that way, but you do it because, I'm okay anyway. So a little laziness sits in.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things now that come back at you in these periods of time that need to be dealt with.
Yeah. And so now is a good time to, first of all, I would like for you to do the exercise of writing down where your money's going on a monthly basis. And this is a great exercise for everybody. I don't care about, you know, if you have extra money coming through the door right now. This is a good exercise, regardless of who you are and where you are, of keeping track of the money. Let's face it, if your job at your employer is, you know, in the accounting department, and you're responsible for reporting out to inflows versus outflows, where's the money going and where's it coming in from, you should probably be doing the same thing in your own personal life.
Sure. And, you know, that's a great point, Doug, is, you know, people say, you know, I'm okay, we're all right. You know, why am I doing that? Hey, you know, you can start with major U.S. corporations, some of the most successful corporations. This exercise is done year in and year out, okay? Expenses, what are we doing? Where are we frivolous? Where can we chop? Where can we get a little more, you know, a little more bang for the buck, if you will? So, again, don't look at it as like, well, you know, I'm not this corporation worth, you know, $20 billion. It doesn't matter. It's for everybody. Everybody could, you know, like, you know, it's interesting about money, Doug. It's such a thing to get sometimes folks to do this. It's like, well, I don't want to be bothered. But then sometimes to save a quarter doing something or 50 cents, you know, you won't buy something at the store. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm not paying $3.50.
Right.
If it was $3, I would have bought it, but I'm not paying $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
But then they won't take a look at their entire financial picture and say, hey, what are we doing here? What's going on? What should we do better?
You know, and that's one of the things that, folks, we like for you to try to do is to run your financial house as if it is a financial business, right? Because the reality of the situation is you are the chief executive officer, the CFO of a financial company. It's your own financial company. And at the end of the day, every company, for the most part, is run with the eye on profitability, right? Let's see, are we profitable? Is the company operating well? Is the family operating well? How are we doing? Are we cash flow positive or are we cash flow negative at the end of each week, at the end of each month, the end of each pay period, however often you would like to look at it? And we want you to focus on the profitability of your household.
Great point, Doug. You know, and you know, so many things that we sit and we talk about here on the show, and this, you're saying, you know, run your household like it's a financial business. You know, when it comes to investing, right, for years we've been saying invest your money like an institution, like,
yep,
the major, the endowments, all these institutions, how they invest. So all these things that you see practice on a higher level could be practiced at the household level.
It absolutely can. You know, one of the things that you said, invest like an institution, one of the things that we've said for many, many years is go out there and, you know, we've got strategies and techniques to bring to Main Street, you know, some of the investment strategies and techniques that they use on Wall Street. And so the same thing holds true as far as keeping an eye on your own personal financial affairs. We can bring some of the same strategies into your life that other places and businesses and successful families use in their life. And that's one of the things that I want to emphasize to the listeners out there, Mike, is that we can bring to you, and we would love to do it, some of the strategies and techniques that some of the most successful families that we've ever met employ in their lifetimes and inside of their, you know, the four walls of their house to make their financial situation of their family something that is enviable.
Sure. You know, Doug, and so, you know, getting back to, you know, our topic today and things that have been going on. And I know, Doug, you know, inflation has really brought this conversation to light.
It has.
You know, everything we've been seeing is it becomes now, right, besides you're saying, Doug, go through your expenses, where's your money going, doing all that, kind of getting your, we're asking you to get your arms around it, mm-hmm. in essence, right? Find out, hey, what, first off, you need to know what's going on before you could start saying, well, we can remedy this or do this better or do that better. But it's, to me, Doug, I still say, and I see this day in and day out through my career, there's so many things, I'm going to call them lazy things, that we all fail to do. You know what I'm saying? That we just don't want to do, right? I mean, week in, week out, we've been coming on the show now for the last, so I guess it's a year and a half, almost 2 years, that interest rates started to move.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come on, get a better rate on that money just sitting in the bank. You know, don't let it sit in the checking account getting 0%. Move some to the savings account. You can get, you know, a better number. These conversations, and whether it's expenses, it's another category, as I'm saying to you, is the income side.
Right.
There's the taxation side. There's, you know, another big thing is, where are you taking your money from, mm-hmm. for expenditures? What, you know, are you taking out of your IRA? Are you paying unnecessary tax? Are you, Doug, the other thing was, is when people go to buy a car, right? They'll sit there and they'll say, oh, I'm going to take it from here, or I'm going to sell off this piece of an investment. Well, are you triggering capital gains maybe? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a, Doug, there's a whole checklist really of things that people day in and day out fail to do on the right way.
We should create that checklist, you know, Mike, we really should. And, you know, offer it out to our listeners out there. And, you know, one of the easiest things that you can do is just to track your expenses, you know, going out. Yeah. And it does, again, you know, I want to emphasize, it doesn't matter if you have plenty of money coming through the door on a monthly basis. We don't want to see you waste money, okay? I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the show, is that I believe I told everybody that my wife, you know, canceled the DirecTV service with the satellite. And now we have DirecTV through the app. We get the exact same channels, every single channel that we had on the DirecTV with the satellite dish, for 50% of what it cost us to have it previously.
Nice.
So it's saving us roughly $130 a month.
Right.
Listen, knock on wood, thank God the $130 a month isn't, you know, it's not a changing amount of money in our lives. But that's just $130 a month. And what you always like to say, Mike, now where's that going? What bill's that paying? Is that paying the garbage bill now instead? Like, is that offsetting an expense someplace? And this is how we want you to look at your situation. Because if you are investing money in a company, okay, if you were putting up your hard-earned money and investing it in a company, I think that you would expect the company to operate in this fashion.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So you should do it for yourself. Now, here's the rub. People don't know how to do it, Mike. Right? That's the rub. And that's why we offer to you the service to help you do that for you and show you how to do it. Because we want to get you on that path and get you going and operating on this fashion. It only makes sense to do it. Over the years, we've also heard people say one of the resistances to doing this is that, I don't want you to tell me not to get my nails done. I don't want you to tell me to not play golf with my friends. And that's not the point. That's not what we do. We're not taking your enjoyment away from you. What we're doing is we're taking your other areas, you know, and looking at them and say, can we do something here?
Yeah. And you know what, Doug? And a lot of ways, too, like what we bring to the table when people work with us, it is like, I don't know, call it a system, a procedure, call what you may. I think the biggest thing, in a way, sometimes is accountability.
Right? Sure.
We all need sometimes accountability in life, you know, and if we can get you on the right track and get you to think about things and do the right things, like you said, that doesn't mean you're not getting your nails done. Doesn't mean you're not golfing. That's
right.
Not the point. Okay. The point is, it's just getting you cleaning up those habits, getting good habits. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, it's like saying getting a personal trainer at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need somebody to sit there and, you know, and make sure and hold me accountable and do the right things and take the right steps. You know, so these are the things, though, Doug. But it's just, you're right, though. I mean, this topic today is very, very timely in of what's been going on over the last year or two. And there are people starting to, you know, dry up a little bit, you know what I'm saying, with
mm-hmm.
cash flow and
no
starting
doubt.
To hurt a little bit or have to get to the point of making some decisions. Well, we're here to say if you're doing that, there's a whole process you need to do before you need to make those decisions. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, are you taking these steps? Are you creating the good habits? Are you evaluating things? Are you getting more, you know, more income where you should? Are you paying less taxation? It's a whole ball of factors.
You know, Mike, this past week I spoke to a client who told me this situation where they were starting to come up a little bit short. The only change that was made, that suggested at least, was repositioning in the bank where they have their money. Oh. And the question, and people are like, what's he talking about? Yeah. I said, well, how about if we move the money from the checking account where you're getting less than 1% interest, let's move it over here to a money market account that this bank, certain bank offered that was a little over 4% interest, and we just quadrupled your interest, and now you tell them to send you the interest on a monthly basis or use the interest on a monthly basis. Like, it was that simple. They did it right there at that bank that they were currently at, and we just quadrupled their interest income. A couple hundred extra bucks a month coming through the door now. And, you know, it was as if I walked on water when I explained that to them, okay? And, you know, the reality of the situation is it was just an idea that somebody who's in the financial business and does this for a living easily gave you to, you know, help the circumstance.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Doug, because you know why? It's not if you're not doing it, you're a bad person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or you're an evil person or you know, you're this mean spirit out there. None of the above. It's we get it. You're busy. Your life takes over. You're busy with your job, you're busy with your family, you're busy with your grandchildren, whomever you're busy with. And there's things in life that you know you should, but you just don't create the time to say, I got to go execute and do this type of thing.
Right.
And
folks, if you'd like for us to sit down with you and help you do this, we'd be very happy to. You just need to pick the phone up and give us a call at 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Pick the phone up, give us a call. We've got offices in Clark, in Florham Park, and Tom's River. We make house calls. We'll do Zoom call. Whatever's easiest for you. And this may sound like a minor thing, but the little things, if we take care of the little things, we can really help propel ourselves, you know, going forward in the future. It really, really can be very beneficial.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's hop to a break. We'll be right back, folks.
If you're like many people, you know that you should really be working with a financial professional to help take care of your money. But if you are like many people, you simply don't know who to turn to or what to even discuss when it comes to your money. This is why you should call Wealth Management Group. You see, the two guys you're listening to on this radio show right now aren't just radio show hosts. They actually work with people like us to help with our money. These guys have been helping people for over 30 years with various financial topics, depending on what is important to each client. So this is what we need to ask ourselves. Are we doing what we need to do with our money? Do we know if what we have is right for us? Are we doing the best things for our family? Wouldn't it be a good idea to sit down with Wealth Management Group and talk with one of the guys? Pick up the phone and give a call to 855-262-3722 to schedule a time to meet. Wealth Management Group has offices in Clark, Toms River, and Florham Park. They make house calls too. Give a call right now. You'll be glad you did. 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
At Wealth Management Group, we will guide you through a one-hour informative experience where you will walk out with a better understanding of your current financial situation, a strategy or plan that you may not have had before, and a feeling of confidence that you have taken a step toward your goals and freedom from wondering, all by investing just an hour of your time. Many people who have gone through our process have realized a sense of ease and clarity like they may not have had before. At Wealth Management Group, we have a process that provides individual financial programs customized for each client because you are not all the same and should have your own strategy, not a strategy that is the same as 1,000 other people. We have offices in Clark, Parsippany, Martinsville, and Toms River to suit your needs. We observe and respect all protocols in order to keep everyone safe and healthy. Or if you wish, we can have our meeting on the phone or video. So we invite you to invest an hour of your time to go through our informational experience with no cost or obligation to the listeners of this show and come out after with something you didn't have before. The first step is simple. Just give us a call now at 855-262-3722 to get a date on our schedule. That number again is 855-262-3722 to take the initial step toward a sound financial future. Once again, that's 855-262-3722. We look forward to your call.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Your Financial Future. And heck, you know, we're glad that you're with us. You know, we come out here every weekend, and our objective here is to educate you and motivate you and explain things to you in a way that you'll understand them, because that's really very important to us. Because what's the point in us coming out here and talking to you in terminology and, you know, stuff that you don't understand if you can't take it and implement it? So we really want to be understandable and pay attention, help you pay attention to what's going on out there. And Mike, you know, one of the things that that we speak about often to people, and we talk about with people probably more so in individual meetings when we see them than we do on the radio, is a technique that we use of managing assets, and that is having people have their funds managed like the institutions do. So let's take our time and let's spend some time here and talk to them about what we mean by that and what the approach is.
Yeah, and I think that we have to break down really what the topic is here. It's, you know, having your money managed like an institution. Well, what is an institution?
Okay. An institution can be a mutual fund. It could be a charity. Could be an endowment at a college. Something of these natures. That's what we're talking about when we talk about institutions, big places, and how they manage their money. And how can we take these strategies and bring them down to the non-institutional or just the regular individual person?
Right, absolutely. How do you boil it down to the individual person? And, you know, Doug, the interesting thing is like you had touched on universities and endowments, which hold, you know, a lot of money, right? Billions of dollars. And really, to say it, they don't time the market, right? There's
Correct. No... They're not allowed to.
They need the money. The money needs to last forever. They want the money to grow. They want to be able to utilize the money. So it's not like they're timing the market and saying, well, I'm retiring in 2 years. I'm retiring in 30 years, whatever. They're like perpetually invested in the market. So how do they do it, right? And how do they do it to keep it from becoming a roller coaster? And what prudent steps do they do to be so successful that could get boiled down to the individual listener listening right now?
Okay. The first and most important thing that we can pinpoint, put our finger on right away, Mike, is that they have a written investment policy in place that's approved by their board of directors. Well, if we do that for our clients and we put an written investment policy in place, who's the board of directors?
The client.
The client, right? So the client, you know, approves it. Now, here's the thing that we'll hear from a client, though. But I don't understand this stuff. And we get it. And that's where we come into play. We sit on your board with you, if you will. We help you make these decisions. It's our job to help those not capable of making these decisions and understanding it, to help them to understand them and make the decisions.
Absolutely, Doug. And that's really what's key, right? So it's really almost like, what's the client's really investment policy? And I know that sounds a little heavy, but really, simple terms, what are you looking to accomplish? What do we want done with this money? What's the end goal of what we're trying to accomplish with these investments? And then we help, how would you say, we help institute this plan,
okay? Right.
For lack of better words. And that's how it's, Doug, when you work with the Wealth Management Group, you and I, it's a active partnership. It's not us telling you, well, this is how you should do it, or this is how, you know, Doug, you read these magazines and they say, take your age and that's how much money should be invested in equities and the rest should be invested in fixed income.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hocus pocus.
Right. So we listen to you. We listen to your goals, what you're looking to accomplish, your investment policy, and then we help you implement.
So, but we design the investment policy. Now, what that means is that this tells you exactly how we're going to invest your money going forwards, why we're going to invest it in a certain fashion. And once we all agree with it, it's like grandma's favorite chocolate cake. Now, if your grandmother makes the best chocolate cake or the best anything that you've ever had that you absolutely love, I guarantee you grandma's got a recipe that she uses. And every time she makes that cake, she uses the same recipe, so it comes out the same way. Well, that's what it comes to when our approach to the money management is, depending on your goals and objectives, we've got a box full of recipes that we can implement for you in your money management. And if you are going into retirement and you need your income off of your money, well, we go to the guaranteed income recipe. We put it together. We put it in there. And that's how we run. If you're 45 years old and you're looking to accumulate wealth, we go to the wealth accumulation recipe. We implement it. We make sure we continue to use it on a year-to-year basis. And that's what's going to give us the best chance of being successful going forwards.
Yeah. And the best part of it, Doug, is these recipes, if you will, these investment policies, call them what you may. At the end of the day, they've been strategies that we've been implementing for many years and with many different clients and with you know, various sums of money over the years. And what it does for the folks is it puts you on a right track. Okay. It takes the fear, the guesswork. What should I do? Should I get out of the market? This happened, that happened. The market's booming. It keeps you grounded, if you will. It keeps you balanced, quite frankly. And it puts you on the right track to attain your financial goals.
It certainly does. And, you know, so just like a recipe, there's many different ingredients in there. A recipe is going to have a couple eggs in it. Well, you're going to have some large cap stocks in it. A recipe might have some flour in it. Well, you're going to have some small cap stocks in it. Your recipe may have a pinch of vanilla in it. Well, you're going to have some international investments in here, and so on and so forth through until we have all the ingredients that are necessary. And the most important thing that you'll understand is, just like any good recipe, at some point in time, the quality of the ingredients is going to come into play, right?
Yeah. And, you know, Doug, you know, it's another thing about investing like an institution. I'm going to take you down memory lane, if you will. When we've been practicing this way since the day Wealth Management Group's been formed, right? Invest like an institution, doing the right things, doing all that type of stuff. But when it really came into focus and where we knew we were exceptionally right for what we do was back in 2000 and 2001 when the great tech bubble burst. Because what happened at that time, so many people got caught what I call cheating, all into tech stocks, all into growth stocks. You remember the crazy days, right, Doug? People calling up and saying, I only got a 23% return this year on my money.
Yeah.
Right? We laugh about it all the time. But what happened was they call it the tech bubble, the bubble burst. Well, it burst because nobody had an investment policy. Everybody chased. And what we've always done is we've taken a balanced approach to our clients' investing.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, it's funny you say that because this morning I know, you know, you came walking into an office and I was sitting down with Michael and I was going over some stuff here in a book. And one of the things that I was going over with him is that we have something that kind of looks like a periodic element chart, if you remember from your science days, where all the different elements were on the chart. But we have one that's made up of all the different asset classes that are possible in the investment world. And I was going over it with him, you know, to teach him and showing him, you know, the volatility of individual asset classes, where it's number one year, it's the last place the next year, it's the middle of the pack this year. But also, one of the things that we have on the chart is an asset allocated portfolio. And, you know, I used it to illustrate to him, Mike, this is why we asset allocate and this is why we stay, because the asset allocated portfolio is never first, it's never last, but it always hangs out in the top one third of the chart, and that's where people need to be, and that's what the institutions and the endowments look to accomplish as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug, and that's the key. So really, folks, when we're talking about investing like an institution, we're talking about keeping a very balanced, investing your money, matching your goals, your investment policy to that of the way the big institutions handle their money. It's really no difference. Doug, the size of the money does not matter.
No, it does not. And we've been saying that for years. It really doesn't. A 10% holding in one area is a 10% holding in one area. It doesn't matter if you have $100,000 or $100 billion. If you're allocating 10% to domestic corporate bonds, it's getting 10%. Whether it's getting, you know, if it's getting $10 million as its allocation or $10,000 as its allocation, 10% is 10%.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny about that, Doug, too, is a lot of times a lot of new investors, beginning investors, and they'll do it, you know, like, I'm going to put some money somewhere, a friend talks them into doing something, and they'll invest $1,000, and they'll say, I only made $100. Well, that's 10%.
Right.
The percentage is what matters, folks, not the net gain, because you could be investing $1,000 or $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's the percentage gain that matters on your money. And, you know, Doug, I think it's important because I think a lot of people discount themselves. Oh, yeah, invest like the institution. And not even that, but people think like, oh, I got to have Warren Buffett's money to be able to invest properly,
right,
or do what he does. There's proper investment policy for everybody, no matter what the dollar amount is.
There certainly is. And, Mike, you know, so we've been you know, telling people you can think of it as a recipe. And what I alluded to earlier, and we kind of got off track, I'll just bring it back to a point that I wanted to make earlier, is that like any recipe, the quality of the ingredient that goes into the recipe is going to, you know, have something to do with the success of the recipe, right? I mean, if you go out and you buy if you're making a chocolate cake, we keep using chocolate cake, and you go buy buy a good quality chocolate, the cake's going to taste better than if you didn't buy a good quality chocolate. So our job is to go out there now, once we agree on the recipe, for you will, is to go out there and get you the quality ingredients. And that's really another area where we come into play.
That's right, Doug. And you know what's really important too, Doug, is that's the way to do it. There's no doubt about it. But you know where a lot of people also, I'm going to keep speaking about pitfalls that people fall into, is people fall into that with their 401k plans. And what they do is usually you get a menu of investments, and people have a tendency at looking at past performance, which is
right. Fine.
You know, when you look at funds, look at past performance.
Sure.
But they'll chase and they'll say, ooh, look at that one. Last year it was up 17%. I'm putting my money into that one.
But that's not even what they say. What words do they use? Come on.
It paid?
Right. This one's paying 17%.
Right.
No. That's the performance that it got last year. That's nothing to do with what it's going to do this year. And where the classic mistakes get made is that, especially if you look at that chart I was speaking about before, about the best performing assets in one year and the worst in the next, it is not uncommon that you see one that was one of the top performers this year be one of the bottom performers next year. So this is where people get hung up and get hurt in their 401ks when they do it that way, is that they chase last year's winner, which very often turns out to be this year's, you know, also ran or runner up, if you will, and that's not the best way to go about it.
No, most certainly not. But that's a common mistake, and people, you know, for lack of knowledge, they think they're doing the right thing. Their intentions are good, but the results don't always follow.
Folks, it makes sense to me, and it makes sense to Mike, I know that, for us to manage your money like an institution for you, to bring this kind of approach to you. And if you, you know, at any time in your life, if you start worrying about your financial situation, you start worrying about your investments, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Am I set up properly for the way the market is to now? Am I set up properly for the way the market's going to be tomorrow? You shouldn't, that's not, shouldn't be your approach. Your approach should be, do I have a sound investment policy in place for my goals and objectives? Not necessarily based on how the market's going to do today and tomorrow. So if you would like for us to show you how we can manage your money like an institution, we'd love for the opportunity to do that. You just need to pick up the telephone and give a call to 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Give a call in. Give the board operator your name and your daytime telephone number. We'll give you a call during the week and get together with you and let you know exactly how we can help you manage your money like the institutions and the endowments do. You do not need to be filthy rich in order to use these strategies. We've been using these strategies with people, you know, since the mid-90s. So, you know, we can show you how to do this for yourself, but you need to pick the phone up and call us. We can't call you. And the number is 855-262-3722. We're going to hop to a break. We will be right back.
Is retirement on your mind? Do you wonder if you have enough money? Do you have multiple retirement accounts that aren't coordinated? If you answered yes to any of these questions, here's great news. Wealth Management Group and the hosts of Your Financial Future, Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso, would like to offer you a complimentary consultation with no obligation to help you get organized and see if you're on track. By using modern-day technology combined with decades of experience, Wealth Management Group can help assess your retirement readiness. With offices and meeting facilities throughout the area and their house call option, it's never been easier. Just call now, 732-340-1410. That's 732-340-1410 to schedule your complimentary consultation now. You owe it to yourself to know. 732-340-1410.
All right, folks, welcome back and glad you're investing some of your time here with us. And you know, Mike and I come out here each week and talk to you about stuff related to your money. And we say stuff because we talk to you about anything that has to do with your financial life to see if we can help guide you in the right direction. And, you know, that's what we want to do and help you with that and get you thinking about things. And we don't want you to procrastinate. We want to motivate you, you know, and get you going in the right direction. And there's so many different topics, Mike, for us to cover when it's related to money and that is beneficial and helpful, you know, to people out there. And, you know, one of the big areas that I think needs a little bit more attention given to it by our listeners out there, that's inheritance planning, right? And there's two ends to inheritance planning here. And a lot of people just think about it on the end of, well, I'm the one who's going to die, right? So what's going to happen to my stuff? And we're going to talk about that with you. There's the other side of it. When you leave it, somebody's going to get that money. And what are they going to do with the money? The inheritance, the receiving end of inheritance planning might even be more important than the leaving end of the inheritance planning, Mike, when you take some time and you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. And when you think about it, right, so, you know, you inherit wealth, you inherit money. And for most people, generally, it's the largest sum of money they've ever received. So they're kind of, you know, it's, I hate to make this analogy, but it's like winning the lottery. What do I do? I'm my newfound wealth. I know, Doug, what we try to do is we try to make it a transition into an impactful lifetime financial relief or whatever you want to call it, right, Doug? I know a lot of people like to do they think, well, I inherited money. I went and spent $40,000 on a car. I went and put $20,000 into the house. I did this, I did that. We believe that when you inherit money, it's no different than when you retire, right? And you're going to take all your retirement accounts and sit down. You got to create lifetime income. What are you doing with this lump sum of newfound wealth, this lump sum of money that can make an impact on you, not only for today, but for a lifetime? We believe that's the right approach when inheriting money.
Well, when you think about it, somebody spent their lifetime accumulating money, all right?
Yeah,
accumulating
point.
Stuff, right? This is their, when people go, when you leave this earth, right, everybody's got a legacy that they leave behind in some way, shape, or form. Now, whether it's, you know, you're very philanthropic during your lifetime and you leave a charitable legacy behind, you know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, when somebody's saying, hey, you want to know something, and they start talking about somebody or talking about the things they did or the things they left behind, that's your legacy, right? That's who you are to the people who you meant something to during your, you know, during your lifetime. There's no other way to put that. And you worked so hard to accumulate your assets, your stuff. It's not just your money. It's not just money you have in savings accounts, right? That's or investment accounts. That's what people need to realize. It's your stuff. If you own real estate, if you own, you know, rental properties, if you own anything you own, that's your stuff when you pass away. And somebody's going to get that stuff when you pass away. It's going somewhere. What happens to it at that stage of the game and how does it get handled is of critical importance. And that's why we try to work with people. Number one, if you're the person who accumulated all that stuff, or even if perhaps you inherited it from your parents, and now we want to leave it to the next generation to come, and we want to do it tax efficiently, and we want to do the best we can to ensure that they're productive with the money. That's how family money and family wealth starts to accumulate over decades and generations, I meant to say.
Yeah, you know, Duncan, if you just, you know, kind of slow down and relax for a second when you think about all this, folks, is, okay, so I've spent a lifetime created wealth or whatever, accounts, home, et cetera, so on. As Doug's saying, at the end of the day, the first step is to who? Who do you want this to go to? You know what I'm saying? I want it to go to my son. I want it to go to my daughter. I want, you know, whatever. So that end of it is that, directing it. But really, that's all you can kind of really do at that time, right? The taxation, the direction, that type of stuff. Then the recipient is in a complete different mode. Okay, now it's my wealth, my time for a lifetime with it. How do I utilize it to enhance my financial future? How do I, to make my life easier, to do things better, to whatever? Is it, you know, reducing debt? Is it creating income? Is it letting it just invest wisely and grow over another X tens of years? So it's completely two different modes of inheritance, right? It's the giver, the passer on, the, you know, making sure it goes to, I'm happy, this is who I want to have it. I don't want them to pay tax or as least as possible. And then I can't really control what they do with it from that point forward, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it becomes a whole different prep, if you will, of what do I do going forward?
So we've seen cases where we've been able to encourage people to have a family meeting or in some way, shape, or form express the plans and the desires down to the next generation receiving it. And I'm going to tell you that my experience says that in many circumstances, those go a lot smoother and a lot better than ones that don't. Let me tell you from my observations, and Mike, you jump in on this as well, of situations that we've seen or encountered when there's no discussion that takes place beforehand. So you've passed away, mom or dad has passed away, and the money's going down to the next generation. So the kids receive it. This is what some of the circumstances we've seen. Some people feel guilty about using that money for anything. They will take the money. They will put it, if it's investments, they will leave it in an investment account. If it's a bank account, they will put it and they leave it in a bank. And they feel guilty about using that money for anything. And very often we've had the conversations of, I talked to your mother and father about this before they passed away. You should not feel guilty about using the money. Well, they didn't tell me that. I'm like, I know, I encouraged them to, but they didn't. So I'm telling you. And then the other circumstance that we see, Mike, is what? Spend it away.
Yep.
Go.
Yep.
Waste it away. So we know that the dynamics of having the meeting and talking about that in advance makes things better.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it's the layer of planning that makes a lot of sense, and it's, you know, kind of what's expected, you know, to happen and how it's going to play out. And we feel that's always a strength, if you will, to inheritance planning.
And it's a necessity, right? It really, really is. Just think about it, right? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, and this is not uncommon for where we live, right? Mom and dad own a house that's worth $500,000. They've got $500,000 in a retirement account, and then they've got a $200,000 life insurance policy, and they got another $300,000 in the bank. Lo and behold, next thing you know, you blink your eyes, and you got $1.5 million estate sitting right there. $1.5 million. And now all of a sudden, this money's going to go to somebody who maybe has $300,000 saved up and never knew what to do or how to handle this money in advance. That's a difficult thing for people. People get scared. They get nervous when that happens, Mike.
Yeah, and we find too, Doug, a lot of people want that help. They want that advice. How do I take this on now, and how does it get managed, and how is it most productive for me, and how's it going to last me a lifetime? So that's really obviously it's a smart thing to do, right? I mean, like, you know, okay, I inherited this money. How do I, you know, we're just going to go squander it, you know, type of thing. It's how do I make this most productive for me, you know, to work and last a lifetime? And I don't know, you know, Doug, it's in a lot of ways, as we know, money's a habit. You know, people that their habit is they spend it and they run up debt. Then there's the good saver and frugal with the dollar, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And whether, I'll say parents, for lack of better words, are passing on this money to their children, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? They are who they are.
Right.
So, you know, you can almost, if you do nothing, you can expect what the results are going to be.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know, that's what we want to try to avoid. We want to try and make it, you know, lay out how you want it laid out, not lay out how it may turn out on the other end. And listen, by no circumstances do we guarantee that, you know, they're going to follow the plan. Right. We've seen the plans laid out, and we've seen kids foolishly ignore the, you know, the plans and the wishes, right? We've seen it happen. On both ends, I got to say, too, we've seen people squander money away, and then we've seen people who just won't use it. You know, listen, your mother and father just left you $700,000. You're choking on, you know, a student loan that's outstanding of, you know, $25,000. Let's pay that off. Well, no, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know,
like, that's one of the things, too. I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, and the change in the stretch IRA, you know,
it's huge.
You know, years ago used to be, okay, you could take the IRA over your lifetime, and even the worst of spenders or non-savers would kind of be like, okay, so I get a check every year for the rest of my life, and it was almost a speed bump, if you will, into the spending. And then, you know, when the law got changed and it's a, you know, 10 year and done, I think a lot of ways it hurt people.
Sure.
You know, because you can always take the money if you wanted it anyway. You don't
right.
have to stretch it over your life. So I think in a lot of ways that hurt the consumer, for lack of a better word. You know what I'm saying? The person that's getting it, it's just, you know, it's tough.
So, Mike, there's a couple of different things that are necessary when it comes to doing, you know, proper inheritance planning. And one of them is making sure that beneficiary designations are filled out properly on any accounts that may have beneficiaries. And some examples of those are life insurance policies, are IRA retirement accounts. They will 529 plans. They could have beneficiary designations on them. So that's like one of the things to make sure that's done. Then the next thing is to make sure that the will's done properly, right? I mean, what's going to happen to all the things that aren't controlled by beneficiary designations? And that's another thing, Mike, that people miss and they forget, is that if it's got a beneficiary designation on it, it doesn't pass through your will unless you say the beneficiary of it is your estate. If there's somebody named on there, then it's not going through your will. It's going via that beneficiary designation.
Correct, Doug. And then, you know, nowadays, too, we're seeing a lot of payable on death accounts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. So there's a lot of things that can be done that can make the process A, a lot simpler, B, very directive, if you will, right? You can control, you know, between payable and death accounts and beneficiary accounts where it's going. So yes, you need a will. Yes, you need a properly drafted will and all those good things. But a lot of times people think everything is, well, my will says.
Right.
Well, 90% of your stuff is gone before it ever gets to the will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so that's a big one to keep an eye on.
It really, really is. And then, Mike, there's, you know, there's other things. There's titles, the ownership of accounts, right? Is an account jointly owned with joint rights of survivors? And then as soon as one person passes away, it automatically passes to that co-owner on there. And the cool thing is that you can do a lot of estate planning work around without a will, right? We don't recommend it at all, but you can through beneficiary designation and asset ownership. You could also make assets owned payable on death or transfer on death and name somebody. So right then and there, it doesn't need to have a will associated with that.
Doug, let's talk a minute about the small business owner.
Oh, well, there's an issue.
And the person that's incorporated, you know, and you start a business a very long time ago, and a lot of times it's a family business, and it's been around for 30, 50 years. Well, at death, stock shares, right?
I mean,
you know, is that person the sole owner? Was he the sole owner of the company? You know, different things, setting it up, who's going to inherit it? A small business owner out there, although you think, hey, I'm not, you know, Merck or Walt Disney Company,
right.
You know what I'm saying? A major corporation on the stock exchange, but you are a corporation.
Well, you know what?
And there's things that have to be answered for.
Well, you know what the funny thing is, Mike, is that it's harder for the smaller person than it is for the bigger person.
Yeah.
In many, many circumstances, if you don't have layers of management in your company, right? If it's you and, you know, 5 people who work for you, 10 people who work for you, and you know, and that's it, and you're the CEO, you're the CFO, you know, you're the head bottle washer, you're the cook,
chef,
you're the chef,
washer,
right? You know,
server, yeah.
you're the copy repair man, you know, whatever it is, and you're not there anymore. I mean, we saw it personally inside of our practice here when a client of ours passed away and was a small business owner, the only person eligible to write a check on the checkbook. That's a problem,
yeah.
Right? It's something that then had to be worked around.
You know, it's another area too that I want to talk about real quickly. We're talking about this. Is so many times people will sit down with an attorney and have legal documents drafted, and the attorney, they'll do it to a certain extent, and they'll stop.
Right.
And because of money. Oh, it costs X for this, and it costs X for that. And now he or she wants me to do Y and Z also. They're saying we need to do this. Ah, that's enough.
Right.
Be careful.
It's doing half the job.
Right.
Maybe not even half.
Yeah.
You know? And in many times, Mike, that final leg is the most important one.
Listen, you and I both spoken to attorneys about cases, and an attorney would say, never followed through, never did it, didn't want to do it. The money, complaining about the cost of it. You know, so you got to be careful sometimes, you know. Over spending a few dollars now, how smart is it later? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, sure. We've spoken about that. I mean, you can't be, you can't be penny wise and dollar foolish here.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, and we've spoken about this, you know, in will planning, and we're not attorneys. We don't draft wills. But, you know, very often we've told people, do you know, just by going and having a will drafted and maybe, you know, back in the day having a certain clause in it, just having that one clause in it could save your family, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxation. And I'm like, well, what's it going to cost me to have the will done? I go, well, do you want to know if it's going to cost you to have the will done or not have the will done? I can tell you if you don't have the will done, it's probably going to cost a couple $100,000. If you have the will done, I don't know what the attorney's going to charge you, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. You pick. Would you rather pay to $5,000 or $100,000?
I mean, Doug, I remember back in the day, 20-some-odd years ago, where $1,200 at an attorney's office would save you $100,000 in taxation.
That's where it was going with it, you know? All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this segment. Hey, don't forget, pick up the phone and give us a call, 855-262-3722. We're here to help you. We're here to talk to you about this stuff. We've been at it for a while, and, you know, we may have some ideas that could benefit you. So 855-262-3722. 3722. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We will be right back, folks.
When making decisions regarding Social Security, people often get overwhelmed and confused. Should I start? Should I delay? What impact will my decision have on my spouse? Can I still earn money? We have all heard these questions and more. To help you understand Social Security better, we are offering the Baby Boomer's Guide to Social Security to our listeners. This is an easy-to-understand and simple guide packed with information to many of your questions. Call now to receive your free, no-cost, or obligation copy of the Baby Boomer's Guide to Social Security, 855-262-3722. That number again, 855-262-3722. Social Security is a once-in-a-lifetime decision. Get the most information to make the appropriate decision best for you. That's 855-262-3722 to receive your Baby Boomer's Guide to Social Security.
All right, folks, welcome back. And hey, Mike, that's gonna wrap it up here for this week. And listen, I think it was a very beneficial show. I really, really do. You know, for the listeners out there, we talked about, you know, an array of different circumstances and things. You know, from your micro to macroeconomics to investing like an institution and inheritance planning. You know, we kind of covered, you know, a whole bunch of different things. And, you know, I just hope that it brings value, but more importantly, puts people into action and lets them take some, you know, motivation to give us a call to come on in.
Yeah, I think, Doug, you hit it on the nail on the head there is how are you treating yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
how are you acting in your financial world? You deserve to treat yourself, you know, the best and be educated and keep your eyes open, and there's a way to do it. Right?
Absolutely. So don't be shy, folks. Pick up the phone. Give a call. 855-262-3722 is the number. That's 855-262-3722. As always, thanks for listening, and do us a favor. Be fiscally smart. Bye-bye, everybody.
This program is brought to you by Wealth Management Group, LLC. By sponsoring this program, Wealth Management Group is continuing its commitment to educating the public on financial and money matters. Since the mid-1990s, Wealth Management Group has provided guidance to people from all walks of life related to money decisions. During this time frame, their commitment to not only designing financial and money strategies for people, but teaching along the way has been unwavered. When asked about the motivation behind Wealth Management Group, senior partner Doug Chapman says,
"People need someone they can rely on, not only to provide objective recommendations, but to explain the recommendations to them in easy-to-understand ways so that our clients feel comfortable and confident. I don't like it when I feel like someone doesn't care enough to explain something that I don't understand to me. So we want to make sure that we don't do that to our clients with something as important as their money."
Wealth Management Group has modern technology, and when they combine that with old-fashioned client service, clients win. Co-partner Mike Bonacorso says,
"People love when they call our office and the phone is actually answered by a person who many times recognizes the client's voice rather than asking who's calling. We make sure we treat clients by names and not by account or social security numbers. We've done this from the start and this will never change."
If you are looking for a company to work with who cares about their clients, look no further. Wealth Management Group can be the place for you. Wealth Management Group has experience to help in most money matters. Don't you think it is time for you to schedule a meeting with Wealth Management Group? Call now to 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Time doesn't wait for anyone, and your money is important. Call now, 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonacorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL
LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice.
Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.